In brightest day,
in blackest night.
The rest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show, the champions, the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU-FM McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your face-hugging aliens.
Ready to burst out of the world of the chest of comic books.
The world of the chest of comic books. Well done, Chris. A demerit point for you. Chris, you know what? You and I are so full of... We're bursting with knowledge.
We are.
We're bursting.
Bursting with something, yes.
Yes,
absolutely,
we are.
Yes.
Yeah, we are full of it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's just end it there.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
Well, we got new this week already.
We do. We were going to go right into new this week. Well, what Chris was trying to say is we have new this week, which is our first. Topic or
segment?
Segment.
Yes.
It's our first segment we do every week, and apparently Chris wants to just jump right
in.
No banter this week.
I get excited, you know. Sometimes I get excited about these books.
Tell. Hey, you know, stay on that side of the table, pal.
Why are you going to be like that? You know?
All right, listen, new this week, I'll read the announcement.
All right.
What do you call it? What do you call it?
The ad?
Ad, you're right.
Sure.
New this week is brought to you by the Daily Planet, the number one newspaper in Metropolis. I mean, have you ever heard of another paper in Metropolis? Pick up your copy today.
That's true. I think they probably only have the one.
Right.
Yeah. Just like, you know, Soho, like New York only has one. They don't have the Daily Bugle,
the
right?
The Daily Bugle,
yeah,
yes.
So.
Yes. All right.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into these things here. We've got our new this week picks.
All right, Chris, you've picked for me to look at, first off, a Lobster Johnson, number 1 of 5 from Dark Horse Comics.
Yes.
Mike Mignola.
Yes.
And John Arcudi.
Yes, that's right. So Lobster Johnson was a character that sort of played like a backup stories in Hellboy. And so
yes.
This is sort of, he's got his own sort of series. Every once in a while, Dark Horse comes out with its own little mini series for Lobster Johnson. And this one's called The Burning Hand.
The Burning Hand.
And of course, one of the things that, you know, the lobster claw, that's sort of his nom de plume thing. You know, like you got to make sure you watch out for the lobster claw.
Right, yes. Stay away from the lobster claw. I like it. The cover is kind of a 40s noir.
Yeah, film noir kind
noir.
Of thing. Yeah.
It's more like pulp. Yeah, there is a bit of noir,
yep.
And there's a bit of, you know, a futuristic pulp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it's a really cool cover. Lobster Johnson from Dark Horse, number 1 of 5, out today at your local comic book shop.
Brand
what else we got, Chris?
New.
Oh, look what you've picked for me. You have picked Batgirl number 5 from DC Comics.
Yes. Well, you know what? I really, you know, I got to tell you that picking a DC comic these days is kind of tough. There's not a whole lot that's really, you know, hitting me over the head with anything spectacular. But, you know, I thought I'd give this one a shot. This is Batgirl, and there's a new character that's being premiered in this one, and her name is Gretel.
Gretel.
As I'm assuming maybe there's some sort of Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, he's coming. You know he's coming.
Oh, yeah. You like Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am Gretel. No, I should have said that in a female voice. She is sickly, sweet, and sadistic.
That's what it says on the cover. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That is Arnold reading Batgirl cover. So Batgirl's made it to 5. Now, you know, all of them have made it to 5 so far. Batgirl is still one of the better-selling comics at our shop.
Well, anyway. I think part of that is, of course, they've got the covers by Adam Hughes. That always helps, right?
Uh-huh.
That's always a big thing. And Gail Simone is a solid writer, and the art by Adrian Saif and Vincent Fuentes. I hope I said that right, but you know, it's solid art as well. I got to say, you know, the story is pretty good. The solid artwork, it's one of the better selling books
Chris,
out there.
You're an art guy.
I guess so. Sure.
I had an art guy in the shop earlier this week, and he's an old timer.
Oh yeah,
old timer. You know, Gene Colan, John Buscema,
right. Yeah, okay. Right?
He goes to me, he goes, yeah, I looked at these DC. They all look the same.
No, they kind of
do. They
don't,
though, do they?
Not really. No? But it's a new – they kind of do and they kind of don't. Like if you look at Batwoman, for example, mm-hmm. that's done by I think it's J.H. Williams III. That's a completely different look than Batgirl, which is a completely different look from Batman and Robin. So they're all glossy and they all have that – that the coloring is all fantastic compared to what he's used to.
I think that's probably the visual you know, that he's getting is the glossy and the color.
Right. But the actual art style is completely different from comic to comic, of course.
All right. So, hey, buddy, why don't you have a closer look at these things? Batgirl number 5.
Yes.
At your local comic book shop today. Check it out on the stands. What we have here from Marvel, Chris, you've picked... Carnage USA limited series.
So I gotta say this comic actually jumped off on the stands for me. Jumped off the stands for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say it was an interesting book. The cover is you know the iconic Uncle Sam from
I want you
kind of thing.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's Carnage wearing the Uncle Sam outfit sort of thing, which I thought was kind of cool. And so I read the comic. And it's a pretty neat concept. Carnage seems to be taking over all the sort of iconic heroes, Captain America, The Thing, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And he's sort of going on this bit of a rampage. It's so the people that are left, you know. So you
spoiler
get,
alert! Spoiler alert! Are you giving a spoiler?
No, I guess it's not really a spoiler. But the people that are still around are kind of like this traveling heroes now.
Right.
It kind of gave me this Walking Dead zombie kind of feel because Carnage keeps on taking over more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
And so people that are left are kind of like, you know, running around trying to fend for themselves and that kind of thing. And that's basically, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it seemed to have a neat little twist to it. And of course the art, it's written by Zeb Wells and the art by Clayton Crane. And which, you know, Clayton Crane is perfect for this kind of stuff. He worked on Ghost Rider before and some mm-hmm. other kind of cool things.
Right.
And Zeb Wells is just goofy enough to have a great script. So...
Right. All right. Well, listen, according to the cover, Carnage wants you.
He does. To buy his comic.
Yes, to buy his comic. So come into your local comic shop and pick up Carnage, limited series number 2 of 5. All right. Carnage USA, sorry. All right, Chris, that leaves us to the kids' pick of the week.
Yes.
And you have picked out the Archie Library, Archie's Double Digest number 225.
Well, yeah, and this is, of course, you know, you can never go wrong with Archie. Archie Double Digests are always big sellers.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we talked a little bit before about how they're big sellers almost everywhere you go, like, you know, especially at the grocery stores, because it's something that if it's right by the candy,
yep.
you know, the mothers and the fathers, they pick them up as they're doing the grocery shopping.
Mom picks up her whatever at the counter.
Yeah.
Woman's World or whatever, How to Lose 8 Pounds in 4 Hours. And Dad picks up his Maxim right up there at
Absolutely,
the counter.
Absolutely, yes.
And,
that's right.
You know, they have to get something for, you know, little Melissa.
Yeah, well, that's right. Little Melissa does need to read comics.
Why not pick up some Double Digest? I think I've pretty well just
I think you've stereotyped.
Insulted and stereotyped.
You're doing a very good job. Very, very good job.
All right. You know, speaking of insulting and stereotyping, you look at this cover, and I don't think it should be aimed so much at little Melissa as little Johnny, because the cover has Archie with like 5 girls.
Surrounded by 5 girls, really. And well, mind you, you know what? In today's day and age, really, this could appeal to anyone.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that is the kids' pick of the week, Archie's Double Digest number 225. Head into your local comic book shop and peruse that and everything else that came out today.
Yes, absolutely. There's lots of cool stuff out there. Hard to pick just a few to mention over the airways, but lots of great stuff out there.
You did good work, though.
Oh, thanks. Right. I appreciate that. Well, you know what? You know what I don't do very good work at is choosing songs sometimes. And I know
you're telling me.
But you know what? Here's an oldie but a goodie. I'm sure Walt, you're going to hate it, but
okay,
some of our listeners love it. So
hit me.
Here's the old Jimmy Olsen song.
Oh, who's the guy he can rely on?
Right, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy boy, Mama Olsen's pride and joy.
Yeah, that of course is Doris Day.
Do you know that song actually keeps on going for at least another 43 minutes?
You're kidding me.
Well, it does keep on going, not for that
wow.
long. But
all right. Well, thank you,
it's
Chris.
It's not even halfway done.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning that thing down. All right, Chris, what
right.
do you got? Are you going to be the sponsor for Comic Culture Mailbag?
Absolutely I am. So Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by the Joker brand makeup. From chalk white base to blood red lipstick, you'll be the talk of the town with Joker brand makeup. Love that Joker.
Yes. Well done, Chris.
Thanks.
Well done. All right. Takes us into the Comic Culture Mailbag now.
Yes. I've got a question here for you, actually.
All right. Is it for me this time?
It's for you this week.
Oh, good.
It says, now, this is, you know, it's a little strange question. And, you know, it's
I can do strange.
Okay.
All right.
Now,
strange.
Are you familiar with the Predator movie? You know, with...
Oh, I love it.
Okay. So right. do you know how the Predator sees, like heat signals and stuff like that? That's the way he sees everything?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's the question for you. Dear Walt, can the Predator see when guys have erections?
Excuse me.
That's what it says here. That's from Larry from Hamilton.
Larry. Yeah. Wow. Larry, thanks for – you just got me speechless. What can I tell you, Larry? I think not if you rub mud all over it.
Well, that's what Arnold did, right? That's
I think so. You know – Listen, Larry, I know a few places in Hamilton to do that, too. So, well, Larry. So, I hope Larry doesn't come into the shop regularly.
No.
You know, Larry, thank you. Good question.
Very good question.
I don't know. You know, obviously, you know, as I said, rub mud and then you're fine, right?
Right.
And I don't know the Predator's preferences in that type of thing.
No, you never know.
So you never know. But anyway, it would probably be best in a situation like that to keep it down.
I would.
Yeah. I meant the noise level.
Right. Absolutely. Because yeah. you don't want to.
No, you don't want to let the Predator know where you are.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
So, yeah. So, Chris, I want to make sure Larry writes you a letter next week. All right. Well, thanks for the letter, Larry, and I hope that helped.
Well, yes. And you know what? We should just inform our listeners that, of course, if anybody else has any questions about, you know, pop culture, comic books, anything like that, they're more than welcome to write to us via comicbookdaily.com.
Yes. Excellent. All right. Let's move it on, Chris. We're going to go right into industry news.
All right.
And we're going to have the sponsor here, Industry News.
Oh, Harold, let me get that. Sorry.
Yeah, all right. You get that.
I got that.
You got that.
No,
you get it.
Okay, well, what are you holding your hand out? I thought you wanted the paper or something.
Right.
All right. Industry News is brought to you by Monkeys and Boobs. Keep Frank Cho in business, please, since 1994.
Right. Okay, so the way I read that, because I also have a thing, it says, keeping Frank Cho in business since 1994.
Right.
Right. All right. And Chris, yeah, Monkeys and Boobs, the guy does really,
he does
really
very,
good
very
monkeys.
Well. Yes, yeah. Excellent monkeys. Yeah, and gorillas.
He does really,
yes,
good,
really good gorillas.
Gorillas
yeah.
Now, I think that Julia Schwartz made a living on Monkeys and Boobs, too, back in the day.
Probably more so monkeys, yeah. So Julius Schwartz.
Julius, yeah.
You said Julia.
I'm sorry. Julia Schwartz was, of course, the editor of DC
he was the big,
in the late 50s, yeah, early 60s.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of monkeys and gorillas on their covers.
Oh, yeah, they sort of made it a thing, right? You know,
I think you were telling me once a long time ago that they're having a meeting or something, and then they just I guess out of the blue realized that covers with monkeys on them.
That's right. Yeah,
sold
better. He was telling us that when I met him a few years ago, and he was saying that basically if you put like a gorilla, it was more gorillas and apes
right,
and things like that.
Right.
If you put those on the covers, that they sold a lot better. So they just started doing that more often, and
that's
now it's
great.
Now it's sort of their thing, right?
Yeah. Hey, look, the next Flash issue, just put a gorilla on the cover.
Well, you know what's funny?
LeGrod.
I got to tell you a quick story about Julius Schwartz. So when we met him, we were asking him questions about what it was like working back then. And we said, you know, being the editor, what was it like when, you know, somebody would come up to you with a crazy story, like, hey, I got an idea with, you know, the Flash, he's got a huge head or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what was it like when, you know, people were pitching these ideas to you? And he was like, what? Huh? Those are all my ideas.
Love it.
Love it. You know,
him and Stan.
That's
baby.
Right.
Him and Stan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Excellent. All right. Hey, let's start with news close to your heart, Chris. I mean, you're a big Star Wars
fan. I am
buff.
A huge Star Wars fan, yes.
So you led me to this story. This is what are they doing? They're trying to get a series going,
a live
right?
action series for Star Wars.
Yeah. And so
it's actually got a name. So Lucasfilm actually has stated that there's going to be a new live action Star Wars series that's meant for TV. That's right.
Right.
And it's meant to take place between Revenge of the Sith, which was episode 3, and the original Star Wars A New Hope, which was episode 4. And there's about 20 years maybe not quite 20, but about 20 years difference between the ending of the first one and the beginning
of
the second one.
So that's, I know my Star Wars too. That's when Luke was a kid until Luke joined the,
right.
Until the, yeah.
Exactly. So it's, you know, and now the thing is the series isn't necessarily going to be about Luke, mm-hmm. but it's going to take place within that time frame where he's like, you know, growing up and a
right.
teenager and
right,
that kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right. So that's the time, I guess, when, you know, the, what are they called? The Federation? The bad guys.
The Empire.
The Empire, sorry. Yeah. That's the time where they're gaining power and then
they're
ready to take over, and they're probably building the Death Star and all that kind
exactly,
of stuff.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. So, well, I mean, even in I think it was in the second movie, you see the plans for the Death Star and that kind of thing coming available. And when I say second movie, I mean the new second movie, like
right.
number 2.
Right.
So actually, it's got a name now. It's called Star Wars Underworld.
Right, Star Wars Underworld.
That's right. And so according to ICV2, they're saying that that Lucasfilm has actually received 50 completed one-hour scripts. So they've already got 50 scripts of one-hour episodes in the bag.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. How do these – so they have to pay for these scripts, right? Or do people just solicit these scripts?
Well, something like Star Wars, I would imagine that you kind of have to be in the know to get involved in the writing.
Okay.
And what's going to happen is there will be a general timeline, and they'll say, well, these kind of things have to happen, and you'll be given the outline of the plot, and then you'll have to come back with a storyline.
All right. So I'm reading this as saying from some of the top TV writers in the world. So if they have 50 scripts, they're obviously, I'm guessing here, they're not 50 competing scripts.
No.
They're 50 continuity scripts,
that's right?
Like
yeah,
from
that's
one
right.
to the other to the other.
That's right.
So they
yeah.
have, like, what's a season now?
Like,
20
episodes, roughly 22
right, okay,
sometimes.
So you got 2.5 seasons in the bag already.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, some seasons don't even go that long. Some seasons have like 14 episodes.
Okay, so they have 3 seasons.
They could,
the
yeah,
already.
Very easily,
okay.
yeah.
So the drawback, though, is what? That
well, here's the thing. So the show is actually is estimated to have, in order to make the show, they're estimating about $5 million per episode.
Wow.
Which is staggering, right?
Yes.
Like, that's a lot of money, for considering it's a TV series. It's, mm-hmm. not, it's not a movie.
So but, you put a 20 episode season together, that's $100 million.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
like a big, huge,
that's
big
a blockbuster,
budget blockbuster
yeah,
movie.
For sure. For sure. Now, granted, who knows what kind of revenue that's going to generate when it's being put on TV for ads and DVD sales and what kind
yeah,
of, you know,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to come up with new characters, and those new characters are going to be made into toys and video games.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, I mean,
it's, $5 million then doesn't seem almost that bad.
Exactly. You know,
right.
it's still a lot of money, but compared to other TV shows, it's enormous amount.
Wow. All right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that.
And the thing is, this is also geared – it's going to be a little bit more dark than, like, say, the first movie kind of thing. It's going to be a little bit more adult, a little more complex. So I think it's really geared towards, you know, the generation that you and I kind of grew up in where we saw the original movies in the theater. We went back and we saw the newer movies. But we probably saw the original Star Wars in the theater.
Right.
So now we're kind of like, well, what happened? How did they get to that point? So this right, is something right, that right. you and I would watch on TV.
Massive pent-up interest, right?
Absolutely. Massive pent-up interest.
Awesome. All right. Let's move it along. Chris, oh, this is cool. We talked about this a couple months back. Marvel offer for the in-store coupon. So if you go on their website and you buy a digital comic on Saturday, January 7th,
right.
You get a $5 electronic coupon, I guess, that you can print out on your printer or whatever
right.
you do. And then you can take that into participating comic book shops
right.
and buy something at the comic book store.
That's right. Yeah, that's
like
right.
$5.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool idea.
And then the comic book store has to probably a code on that coupon has to submit through an email or something that I've redeemed these
right,
three
right,
coupons.
Right.
And then next week's invoice or something like that, the comic shop gets credit.
Right. I would hope. Unless the comic shop gets a check directly from
I don't think so.
Marvel.
I think it's a credit. I think that's what I think if I'm remembering right, that's what we read the first
okay.
time through. But so what I would love to know is how this thing played out.
Yes.
We, for one, at our shop, have not
received anything yet.
Yeah. Yet. I mean,
you might still, though. You never
yeah.
know.
Oh, it's early,
yep.
right? I mean,
yep.
Somebody downloaded it last
well,
week.
Well, and really, you know, today is New Comic Book Day, so who knows?
Yeah, they might come
people,
in today.
People might come in today with their coupon, right?
You're absolutely right, yeah. So that'd be cool. If any listenership out there actually did this.
Let us know how it went.
Yeah, let us know how it went. If you went into your local shop later, how was the transaction? Was it smooth? I think what this was designed for, though, is people that haven't been into local shops, really.
Before. Right. I think they're trying to get the people that are really on the digital side, trying
right.
to get them back into the local shop to
right.
buy more.
Or even first time into the local
right.
shops.
Right.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
yeah, I download everything, and then, oh, I got this $5 burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
I might as well drive down or take
a
bus.
I would think that if you're buying a Spider-Man comic online, the chances are you probably have been in a comic book shop at some point.
Well, here's the issue here, Chris, is Marvel really isn't interested in, or DC or anybody, I don't think, into just taking the comic shop patron and turning him into a digital patron.
Right. I think they're trying to get
they're trying to get totally new blood.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes,
because
yes.
it's a limited pie with people frequenting comic shops.
Sure.
And if you're just going to transfer those into digital, you might be end up saving some money here or there, but what they want to do is they, you know, they have grand visions. They want to go from, you know, 100,000 people buying the hard copy to a million people or half a
right.
million people downloading.
Right.
So that means a lot of new people have to come on board and stuff like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if they can redirect that new traffic that's coming onto digital into
yeah.
comic shops, it's a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
And I think they're doing – I think these giveaways and these lures, I think it's a great way of doing that.
Hey, you know what? Listen, we have to all be practical. I mean, digital is here to stay.
Yeah.
Digital is a thing of the future. You have to embrace it. You have to look for ways to use it to your
– But yeah, I was just going to say, like, the whole coupon thing. Do you remember – I don't know if you remember when – do you remember when, like, you know, okay, the Bay, which is the flagship – department store of Canada.
Yeah.
I remember it was had tough times. It was, you know, not doing very well. And then all of a sudden they came out with the Bay dollars and they shipped like almost like everybody in Canada $5 in the mail.
Right.
And you had a chance to go and use that $5. Well, of course they're going to go and they're not just going to spend $5.
Of course.
They're going to spend $50 or $100 mm-hmm. or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. But it got people back in the stores.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I think it sounds like Marvel's doing something like that.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, look at another Canadian institution, you know, Canadian Tire. Excuse me, those Canadian Tire
yeah,
dollars
Canadian
are
Dire
addictive.
Dollars. That's right. right, absolutely. Yeah,
they're,
sure.
they're worthless to you unless you go to Canadian Tire.
That's right, absolutely.
All right. Okay, let's sticking with the whole digital thing, I guess. Let's talk about DC's, what do they call this thing? The combo package or something like that? Digital combo packs.
Okay, right.
So what DC is doing, they are they have three titles that what you do is you pay $2.99 for the comic,
Right.
And then if you want the digital code to download that book, you pay $3.99. So you pay an extra dollar for the combo pack.
Oh, okay. So so combo pack meaning that you're going to get the hard copy version of the comic, and you can get the digital copy of the comic as well.
And you get like your digital code to go home and download the Justice League Batman in Action were the titles that were part of this digital combo pack. And now DC is adding Detective and Green Lantern to the mix.
Right.
So now there will be five titles
that are available online.
That are available as a combo pack.
As a combo pack, yeah.
That also online. So you're paying the extra buck for those five titles.
Right.
You can get the downloaded version too online.
Right. Now, as far as – I'm just curious. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But as far as a retailer goes, so do you have to buy X amount of dollars, X amount of books that are combo packs as well as X amount of regular books as well? Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know how it works.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I honestly don't. Whether retailers have the combo, like the code.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. If they have like a pile of codes or something.
Yeah.
Or,
and then you just kind of, you've paid an extra dollar. Here you go.
Right.
I don't think it's a physical, because then you wouldn't be able to guess.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm going to get, 100 of the regular ones and 20 of the combo.
That's what I'm wondering,
because you're going to guess wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so I would imagine you just get 120 and you're able to have
a random generator of codes or something like that.
Yeah, so that's probably the way it goes. They're also doing – what DC is also doing is they're upping the price of two of their titles, the two Batman titles. So they're upping the price of Detective and Batman to $3.99. They're going to 40 pages for both.
Oh wow! Well, that's good. Yeah. So at least you're getting more dollar for your
You'll have to pay $4.99 for those books to get them in the combo.
Right.
So that's something cool that DC is doing. Now this is the opposite, really, of what Marvel was doing.
Yeah, because
where Marvel
sort of...
was selling online and then giving incentive to go to the shop.
Right.
Whereas DC, with this promo anyway, is saying, hey, you're in the shop. Why don't you read a digital
for an extra buck.
If we entice you for a buck?
Right.
So,
I think that'll probably appeal to both sides, really. It'll appeal to the guys that are already in the store who happen to be buying DC comics, and it'll appeal to the guys who are already online who happen to be buying Marvel comics.
Mm.
Right?
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. This was cool. This is kind of we're the Oprah Channel.
Yes, of course.
Pretty well going to have a Marvel Channel soon.
Awesome! I love it. Can't wait for my Squirrel Girl TV episode.
Yeah, that's coming.
I like it.
You're going to have to pitch the pilot.
That's okay. I can do that.
Disney XD cable channel is going with a Marvel block of programming starting Sunday, April 1st, starting with this new Ultimate Spider-Man series. Ultimate Spider-Man, the new animated series, has guys like Paul Dini, Joe Quesada, Brian Michael Bendis, a whole bunch of people involved in the production and the development of it. It's like they're basically trying to update the whole Spider-Man.
I gotta say, Paul Dini is a great addition to that lineup, because Paul Dini, he helped to create the Batman animated series, which is hugely popular, of course, with Bruce Timm. pardon me. So, but I think his storytelling is really, really great, and I think if anybody that can probably bring the Spider-Man Peter Parker saga to contemporary audiences like they want, he is definitely one of the guys to look at.
Yeah, Paul Dini, and joining this block is stuff like already the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which I'm hearing from guys at the shop is a great series.
Right, I've heard that. Yeah,
and there'll be an Iron Man series, a Cap series, a Hulk series, a Thor series, plus some shorts, some live action stuff. So there's going to be.
It's almost like the Marvel Station, eh?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I'm
awesome.
Saying.
Yeah,
this is kind of like going to be if you're a big Marvelite,
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, this is awesome.
There's going to be basically a channel for you.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I joked about the Squirrel Girl TV series, but really, done properly, I can't see that being too far away.
Yeah.
Right? Because, make it a campy Batman, original Batman 60s TV series kind of like that with Squirrel Girl, I think it'd be popular.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well,
all right,
listen.
Whatever.
Hey, Chris, it's time for one of our new, but already probably, one of the fans' favorite segments of the show, and that's Trailer Trash.
Trailer Trash. Yeah. You know what? I myself love Trailer Trash.
Yes.
Because it's
I
kind
heard
of...
that about you.
Hey, hey, hey. Because it's so ridiculous that, well, at least I think, that what is being put out on the internet as so-called news, and it always has to deal with new movies coming out, the deal with comic books and stuff like that, and so we've entitled it Trailer Trash.
Fill us in.
All right, well, so recently, we have the Avengers movie coming out on May the 4th of next
sure.
year. Of this year. Jesus, 2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah.
And, of course, well, now, as part of their publicity, they have decided, the people who are in charge of the Avengers movie, have decided to put out a single still featuring Thor and Captain America. And it looks like, as they say here, as part of a slow ramp-up, the most recent previous release of images was in mid-December. They released a cool still to USA Today that depicts Thor and Captain America, who clearly have each other's back.
Wow.
That's...
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now, and that is fabulous.
Yeah. So basically,
it kind of looks like the other picture that they released where they're on their knees.
Yeah.
Like defending something.
Yes, yeah. Yes. This one. So basically, there's a pile of rubble. And you got Cap and
they're
Thor.
They're standing around. They're going, you know what? You know this would be cool for? There's a pile of rubble, and they're standing around looking. You know how my kids get those owl magazines
and stuff?
And then they usually have like a picture, and it's like a dumb picture. And then they have a word balloon with an empty thing, and you have to fill it in.
Yep.
And so we can have a little bubble like above Thor's head, and it could be, who the hell's going to clean all this up? Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Or where'd I park my car? Or something like that.
I told you not to park in this parking lot.
Right. Yeah. And this is what we need here.
Yeah.
All right. But it is terrible.
The fact that they're releasing a single picture and calling it news is ridiculous to me. Like,
Well, but I love it here, what you said. Where is it? They're releasing a cool still to USA Today. Now, that's all fine and dandy.
Yeah.
You know who I'm pissed off at?
Who?
Is USA Today.
Absolutely.
They are a national newspaper
that
took a still
and made
said,
it news.
Hey, you know what? Put this in your paper.
Yeah.
And they go, sure.
Sure. This is news.
Yeah. This is news. Yeah.
Well, and of course, this isn't not to be outdone by USA Today. Superhero hype website decided to unearth a concept illustration for the Avengers Quinjet.
Ooh, I see that too. That
so
is cool. There,
so if you go on the internet, that thing that's still around called the internet, apparently you can find a picture of Thor and Cap standing in a pile of rubble and a concept picture of the Quinjet.
Listen, you know, again, I'm disappointed. USA Today, all these super hype there. What they're not going to get is me and you. You're not going to see me and you wasting time on these.
I can't believe they made this news.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well,
continuing on with Trailer Trash.
We still got more?
Yes. Ah. Yeah, so, there's more than just the Avengers movie coming out. Of course, we do have the amazing Spider-Man movie coming out soon as well. We released on July the 3rd of 2012.
Yep.
And
Andrew Garfield playing Spidey.
Yep. And we've got Emma Stone playing Gwen Stacy. And, of course, we've got these two pictures of basically a girl holding an umbrella. That would be Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. And a guy wearing a toque and some clothes.
Wow.
Some regular old-fashioned clothes standing on a street corner.
Wow. That is amazing. It says two new Spidey photos.
That's pretty fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sure what would they do, Chris? Would they just go on to Google and they would go new Spidey photos?
Yeah, for sure.
What we want to do is we want to direct the listenership, the fans, to these pictures because I know they want to see.
Well, you know, Comic Book Daily should have these up if they don't already. They should probably have a link to them somewhere.
Right. Okay.
I'm sure they'll probably have them up probably in the next day
I'll
or so.
I'll email the EIC.
You probably should.
And make sure that happens.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
All right. Well, let's have a musical interlude here. And this one is, we've heard it before, it's from your favorite 1980s cartoon, Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, Iceman and Firestar. Yeah. Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you going to say anything there? Or,
nice.
Sorry.
Yeah. I like the ones from the Kranz ones way better. Spider-Man.
Well,
next
yeah.
Time
that's...
play Spider-Man, go back for me for the
All person. Right, all right.
All right, all right. Chris, we'll continue with industry news. Continuing industry news is brought to you by the End of the World Society of Canada.
Oh,
join
my.
Today and make 2012 a year to remember.
Well, clearly it would be because, you know what, there's all these predictions about, you know, the end of the world.
Poppycock.
Yeah, you know. I like there's a joke. I know you read the Sunday Funnies, like the comics.
Sure, yeah.
And did you read that Bizarro one?
Of course.
Well, I remember there's one where there's a cartoon strip of the old Mayans, and of course the Mayans are the ones that are saying the prediction of the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so there's this Mayan, and he's got this finished calendar, and he's like, I can only make it go up to 2012. You know, meaning like he didn't have enough room for anything else.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's move on, Chris, before we get stale.
Is this thing on? Hello?
Hello. Chris, let's talk a little bit about the December numbers for comic books and graphic novels. It's something that you and I like to do.
Speaking of getting stale.
Yeah. Something that you and I like to do every month.
Yeah.
Hey, the good news was there's four comics that were selling at over 100,000 issues.
That's awesome. Yep. Over 100,000 issues, and that's great because we haven't seen stuff like that in a long time.
Right, since really the new 52.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And top 10, 8 of them dominated by DC. I mean, you have just quickly Justice League, Batman, Action, Green Lantern, Detective, Flash, Batman, Dark Knight, Superman. So DC is dominating that top 10.
Yes, clearly.
Marvel came in with, what did they come in with? Defenders and at number 7.
And Avengers X Sanction.
Avengers X Sanction at number 5. Somehow Marvel ended up taking the month in terms of dollar sales and
unit, market share.
Unit share,
Well,
in terms of number of copies.
You know, I mean, I think that although the new 52 is doing very well, Marvel still is very strong in all their other titles.
And they have more titles.
And they have more titles.
Right.
You know, it's just a matter of squashing out the competition as far as, you know, shelf space.
It's close, though. Unit share, it's 34.4 versus 33.7. Marvel with the edge. Dollar share, it's 39 versus almost 38. So, you know, these are close numbers.
Very close.
I like the fact, we have to note, too, that if they're roughly at just over a third, that means the rest of the gang has just under a third.
Right. They have to divvy up a third, basically.
Yeah. So your Dark Horses and your IDWs and stuff like that.
But, I mean, as we saw last week, I mean, although I know you said it could be skewed, IDW is like number 3 now, right? Like above Dark Horse. No, I think Image was number 3 and IDW was number 4.
Yep. Yeah. The thing I like, though, the thing I wanted to discuss there is I like that Marvel and DC are neck and neck.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't like Marvel controlling half the market and DC at 30 and the rest at 20.
Yeah, no,
right?
I like that too.
There's a couple of great dynamics with the way the month played out. Was the rest of the pack had a healthy, you know, 30-ish percent.
Right, right.
Which I'd like to see higher. I'd like to see the rest of the pack combined stronger than each of the Marvel and DC.
Yeah, it would be nice if they had about 40%.
Yeah.
And the other two had like 30.
Yeah, what happens when the two are neck and neck is it keeps them both honest, keeps them both kind of competing.
Absolutely.
And when you're competing, you're trying to be innovative, you're coming up with great ideas,
putting out better stories, for sure.
You're always looking for a way to entice new readers, right?
Absolutely.
Which is important. You're not resting on your laurels.
No, that's right.
And having that rest of the pack nipping at your heels, too, if they have a strong presence, too, it keeps Marvel and DC also aware that there are, you know, upstarts, you know, wanting to get up there, too.
Right, right.
So,
right.
And the whole industry as a whole is a healthy kind of vibrant, hey, let's produce good product, let's produce sustainable product, let's produce quality product, let's, you know, garner new readership and new fans,
that's right.
which is what the comic book industry needs.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, it's always good to have anything fresh coming into the market as well, you know, whether it be DC or Marvel doing anything different. I mean, I still, although there's a lot of, controversy around it, I think Marvel, the fact that DC, went ahead and did the New 52 was great. It really stirred up everything and made everything fresh again, you know, and clearly that has made a big impact on the whole comic book industry. And you know, clearly Marvel is suffering a little bit because of it, because I mean, Marvel had a much larger market share and dollar share than they do now compared to what they used to have before. So clearly they're doing something well.
Well, the whole, with a company like that that's put under the gun and put under a little bit of pressure like Marvel has been, what you don't want happen is for them to make the wrong decision, for them to sort of, you know, quote unquote blink.
No, that's right.
You don't want them to make some rash decision now that wasn't thought out, and it wasn't like, I don't know how this starting in February, you know, them cutting off the titles that aren't selling.
For DC, you mean?
For Marvel. Oh, yeah. And then they're going to the titles that are selling, they're going to multiple times a month. You know, that scares me because, one, you know, the market is still dominated by specialty shops.
Right, absolutely,
And specialty shops still swallow all the comics that they buy.
There's no return. You know.
So you're asking a comic shop to buy issues 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Carnage or something like that for the whole month.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Like, he doesn't know or she doesn't know how 7 will be received, but you already have to.
So the stores are having to buy 3 months worth, which is going to be now actually 6 different issues in advance.
You have to buy, like, you know, 4 months worth in 1 month.
Right.
Before they used to be able to gauge, oh, you know what? Readership is dropping here. You know, I always buy, for example, I always buy 10 extra copies for the shelf or something, let's say. Well, you know, last month there were still 8 left after a month.
Right.
So maybe I'll only buy 6 extra copies for the shelf or something. Well, they don't have that ability to gauge how the title is doing. Yeah.
Right.
And well, they didn't need it so much before because they could react.
Right. Right? But now they need it.
Now they need it because they have to buy 4 or 5 issues at once.
Well, unless the publishers want to make them returnable.
Well, it has to be something. I don't know. So it's scaring me a little bit on Marvel's kind of knee-jerk. I don't know if that's a knee-jerk reaction. I don't know how deeply they've thought that through. But that's kind of what Marvel has coming in the first quarter of 2012. All right, Chris. You know what? We have to move on. Just quickly, I'm going to say that the leading graphic novel for December was, of course, Walking Dead Volume 15.
Right, of course, yes.
You know, it's a runaway winner.
Yep, yeah.
Maybe we'll visit the graphic novel department next week.
Speaking of Walking Dead, did I tell you that I'm all caught up on the series now?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's great. That's great. You know what? I heard a lot of people talking about the fact that the second season wasn't as good as the first season. People are calling it The Talking Dead because there's not enough zombies, too many people just talking heads kind of thing. You know, I thought it was great.
It's plot
development. And you know what? I don't want to give anything away, but it's kind of the way the story goes. There's a reason why there's not as many zombies, right? Like, it's just the way it is. So I have no problem with it.
All right. So you highly recommend.
Highly recommend. Right. I'm even managing to get people hooked on the show that would normally not watch a single horror movie or zombie movie or anything because the story is that good.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So kernels of popcorn, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5.
Four out of five.
Wow.
It's pretty high. All right. If not 4.5.
Excellent. All right, Chris. All right, hey, listen, let's do one more quick news story before we get into kind of our big feature, I guess, of this week. And Marvel's announcing this kind of the only real tie-in to the big X-Men versus Avengers thing.
Right.
Is this new thing called AVX versus.
Okay, so just so our listeners should know. So later on this year, there's going to be an Avengers versus X-Men series
event. Yeah,
and so
that's where the I think comic shops are allowed to pick whether they're an Avengers shop,
so
Marvel is announcing this new series called AVX Versus, and it's basically a 12-issue brawl.
Yeah, this is awesome. Actually, I love this idea, and I think there should be more comics like this out there, believe it or not. So basically, every issue of AVX Versus is going to focus on two characters, one character from the X-Men and one character from the Avengers, and basically they fight for the whole issue. It's just one great big fight scene, and I love this idea. You know, there's a reason why there should be more comics out there like this. You get video games like Street Fighter and Soul Calibur and all these fighting type games, people like to see characters fight. You know, that's right. Why there's action movies with kung fu fighting and you know, all kinds of... Yeah, you know, people like that stuff. So why not have a whole comic devoted to that? I remember one of my favorite issues of the Hulk was where it was almost an entire issue was where he was fighting the Abomination, right?
Oh, yeah, I love
like,
the Abomination.
You know, people like that stuff. So why not have more issues like this? I think this is a great idea.
Well, they did it smart. I think the Avengers versus X-Men, the title, the proper itself,
right,
will have all that talking and the plot development
right,
and stuff.
Right.
And this is kind of like you know, in a way, eye candy, right? It's in a way, it's you know, just okay. Let's just have fun.
Absolutely,
off to the side.
But I'm sure that they're going to get all kinds of great artists and writers for this as well to kind of narrate the story and see how things are going to go. For example, you know, you've got the first one is going to have a combat between Iron Man and Magneto.
Yeah,
I want to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah,
you know?
Wait, get it? Yeah, hold on. Oh, Iron Man and Magneto. Wouldn't they just kind of come together and they'd be stuck?
Kind of, yeah, kind of. But well, we'll see how.
And
that...
then they're just kind of hitting each other over the head. Like
that's right. Yeah.
Let me go. I can't. Let me go. I can't.
Hey,
let
wise guy.
Oh,
yeah. No, right. So that one's going to be done by Jason Aaron and Adam Kubert. And then there's going to be a Thing versus Namor squabble.
Oh, Thing and Submariner. That's always a classic battle.
Staged by
battle.
Yeah, this is by Stuart Immonen. So that must be, I wonder if that's going to be in the background of this particular issue. Because really, Thing and Namor, that's not...
That should be a whole issue.
Yeah.
That's classic Bronze Age.
I agree.
Stuff. So, wow. All right, so it sounds like a pretty cool series coming up.
I think it's going to be pretty fun.
All righty.
Let's...
what are we going to do, Chris? We're going to go to a musical interlude?
Yeah, we're going to go to a musical interlude, and then we're going to have... we're going to go into our sort of feature of the week here.
Yeah.
All right, so
let me... Do you want me to keep talking while you fumble?
I'm not
going to help.
I'm not fumbling. I didn't know you wanted me to play music right away. All right, here, let's try this one here.
I love that, Chris. That, of course, was the Norwood School Band with my son Nicholas on drums. Boing, boing, boing.
Well, he did a great job.
Good
he
stuff,
did a really
yeah.
Good
and
job,
I think man. Alex was on kazoo. All right, Chris, brings us to the last, I guess, segment of the show.
Yeah, so we're just going to...
Which is brought to you by your local comic book shop.
Of course, as
please,
always.
Please head into your local comic book shop, check things out.
Yeah, and so today now we're just going to talk a little bit about... of course, this is going to be a big year for comic book movies.
Yes, it will. Like last week we talked about comic book events.
Yes, and now we're going to talk about comic book movies.
Coming up in 2012.
That's right. Now, just... you know what we didn't talk about very much before we get into this, and I
okay, back that up a bit.
Just beep 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 before we get into this topic.
Yes,
and you know, one of the things we didn't talk about last week, and I'm just wondering, do you have any? And I'm putting you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any predictions about what's going to happen, and if there's going to be anything major happen in the comic book industry in 2012?
That
predictions.
Is a good question.
Yeah,
that is a good question. I can't see it. I think. I know there'll probably be some DC 52 cancellations.
Right.
I'm hoping that there's going to be some cool new, you know, image type properties like a Chew, you know, that type
right,
of thing.
Right.
Some kind of new hip stuff, Morning Glories that people are all over and stuff like that. You know what? I think the big story that will play out will be, you know, how well digital is received and whether it helps the industry as a whole or not.
Fair enough. Do you think, I mean, I guess I'm just wondering, are we going to see any more, what do you call it? Not amalgamations, but, you know, what do you cooperative movements where, you know, stores like Amazon are going to combine with DC or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I mean, listen, if you're going to be if you're going to go way out there, you know, I bet you right now, and I say this kiddingly, that the executives of Marvel and DC are sitting together colluding on some sort of you know, combined push for their characters to go a certain direction, perhaps where they where they can do crossovers and stuff.
Yeah, well, I can see that happening for sure. Yep. For sure. All right, well, let's get going to our topic here.
All right. So, what's going to be comic book movies? I mean, I'm sure there are a few other ones we picked because we're limited for time, just kind of the bigger ones. What's the first one releasing?
First one we've got is Ghost Rider, and that's and the reason why we're talking about that. It's coming out soon, February 17th.
Right,
Ghost Rider. Of course, that's going to have Nicolas Cage is going to reprise his role as Johnny Blaze, the Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to have Idris Elba in it as Moreau. You know, I'm still surprised they made a sequel to that one. The first one, I heard it, I never got a chance to see it myself, but I heard it didn't.
Well,
go over
I read well. I read that if it was. If it wasn't used by, like, if the property wasn't used at some point last year, it would have went back to Marvel.
Right.
And so whoever held the rights to Ghost Rider felt the pressure to make a movie.
Right. So well, there you go.
So look for that. I guess, listen, I mean, hopefully they didn't make it on a big budget. I think the Ghost Rider is a property that could work.
Absolutely.
If the movie was done kind of smartly.
Yep.
Keep the budget down to, you know, 30, 40 million or whatever.
If you could, yeah.
And, you know, and then just have a kind of okay theatrical release.
Yep.
And then do some good video and DVD sales and that type of stuff. All
right.
What comes after?
Okay, then we've got John Carter. This is coming out on March 9th, 2012.
John Carter, now, Warlord of Mars.
Yeah, so this is the thing. So this is, and not a lot of people realize that this is actually supposed to be John Carter, Warlord of Mars, who is based off of the books by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also created Tarzan. And so basically this is sort of like, it's kind of like, you know, it's this, like, you know, this human guy all of a sudden ends up being up on Mars and he ends up fighting for the planet and that kind of thing. So it's this big conflict and there's lots of great action scenes. But
you know what's weird? You know what's weird with Edgar?
Edgar
Rice Burroughs. Yep. What's weird is it's the new millennium.
Yep.
And we're all talking about John Carter and we're not talking about Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well. Tarzan is all about the jungle and, you know.
Tarzan, it's so 20th century.
It's so 20th century,
right.
Absolutely, yeah.
And John Carter is the 21st century. So I'm looking forward to that one, actually. It sounds pretty good.
And I think what's interesting for me is that this is being produced by Disney.
Yeah.
And Disney's kind of going into a lot more live action, big budget movies. Like we saw Tron Legacy a couple years ago, and now we've got John Carter.
Right.
So
then we got the big one, Chris. We got the big one, May 4th.
Yeah,
I sound like Don Cherry there. You got a big one coming up here, Chris. The big one's coming out on May 4th. That's Avengers.
Yep, we've talked enough about that. We don't really need to talk anymore.
Josh Whedon, right? Look at Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Samuel L. Jackson, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth,
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner. It is stacked. The hopes of the comic book world are resting on this
pretty
movie.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep going here.
Battleship.
Yeah. So this one, I still can't believe that there's actually a battleship movie. Remember, you and I a few weeks ago we had the predictions of new movies coming out that included the Double Bubble movie.
Yes, of course.
Cool. Well, we've got Battleship coming out. I just still don't quite get it. But,
I you know what? The reason we mentioned this is that they sunk $1 billion into it.
Yeah.
I think this is going to tank.
I hope it doesn't sink.
Oh.
All right, then we've got G.I. Joe Retaliation coming out June 29th.
Yeah, G.I. Joe, right. We have, hey, The Rock. The Rock's playing Roadblock.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's going to be cool. G.I. Joe fans, that first movie disappointed. It underperformed, whereas the Transformers overperformed.
Yeah.
Joe Nation, there's a lot of people, Joe fans out there. They really want redemption with this movie. I'm cheering for it. I'm hoping that it resurrects that whole kind of...
Because
listen, G.I. Joe is a classic 80s nostalgia.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Massive fan base. All they have to do, all the dummies have to do, Chris, is put a good movie out.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all they want.
And you know what? I think they didn't have the right costumes and the right characters in the first one. I think that kind of turn people off, but hopefully if they fix that for this one, that'll turn people back on again.
Right on. All right, let's go. Spidey is next at July 3rd, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes, and looks like, I mean, we're always wondering who the big characters are. It looks like it's going to be the Lizard is going to be the big main bad guy this time.
Yes, the Lizard. We have Sally Field playing Aunt May, Martin Sheen playing Uncle Ben. Pretty
yep,
cool
awesome.
Stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Again, a total reboot.
Yes, so this is brand new number one. Yeah,
he's taking Spidey back to high school, and I think it's going to work. Really, that first Tobey Maguire film is history.
Yeah,
and there's a new generation.
It was
of kids.
Its time. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of those movies, but it was of its time, and hopefully this one will do better. And
listen, a new generation of kids are waiting for this movie, and I'm sure it's going to do well. What else we have?
But then July 20th, we've got Dark Knight Rises. Now, this is a movie that I'm really looking forward to. Of course, Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Gary Oldman, Tom Hardy, Anne Hathaway, like the great cast of characters as well. Cast of actors, I should say. And, the second one was
act
amazing.
Act of casters. That is some act of casters over there you got there, Chris.
Oh, boy. Anyways.
Well, you know what? What was cool about this is they had like a 7-minute prologue of this movie during the Mission Impossible thing.
That's right.
Which is really, really cool. It's kind of an innovative
long.
Thing. Is that going to be something that they do, from now on?
I hope so. You know what? That's a really long trailer.
It's almost for some fanboys a reason to go see Mission Impossible
and
then leave.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, man, what a prologue.
Yeah, and I'm sure
that was awesome.
I'm sure there are people that did that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate to say it, but I have done that in the past, in my younger years.
Shame of you, Chris.
I know.
Shame of you.
Yeah, I know. Right. And then finally, it looks like we've got the Dredd movie. Of course, that's the Judge Dredd,
Dredd.
Character. And that's coming out September 21st. And, of course, this is a...
It's Judge Dredd.
Well, it's not going to be with Sylvester Stallone.
No.
It's going to have
that's
Carl...
That's too bad, you
Carl,
know what I'm saying?
Carl Urban and Olivia Thirlby. And hopefully it'll be really great.
I hope it's better than the first one, you know?
Well, it couldn't really be much worse. That first one, didn't that have...
Stallone?
No, it had Stallone, but had that other...
Adrian?
Now, that would be something.
Mick?
Hey, Mick. I am the law, Mick.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, man. Okay, so check those movies. Those movies are exciting. I mean, we pretty well sprinted through those movies.
We really did, yeah.
We apologize.
Running out of time here.
We're running out of time, and I think we're going to end the show.
Yes, we are. Well, that is all the time we have for today.
Okay. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and enter your comments in the comments field below. And also, you can hear us on getthepointradio.com.
Oh,
Chris and I are sharing one note.
And remember, next time you see a nuclear test site, just stay away. There might not be a scrawny scientist to save you.
Right. Here, give me that back so I can read. Support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a great day.